أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله كما هو أهله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج وآل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. دعاء إمام الزمان. Everybody recite with me. إلهي عظم البلاء وبرح الخفاء وانكشف الغطاء وانقطع الرجاء وضاقت الارض ومنعت السماء وانت المستعان واليك المشتكى وعليك المعول في الشدة والرخاء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أولي الأمر الذين فرضت علينا طاعتهم وعرفتنا بذلك منزلتهم ففرج عنا بحق فرجا عاجلا قريبا كلمح البصر أو أقرب. Everybody loudly. يا محمد يا علي يا علي يا محمد يا علي يا علي اكفياني فإنكما كافيان وانصراني فإنكما ناصران. يا مولانا يا صاحب الزمان الغاص الغاص أدركني أدركني الساعة الساعة العجال 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 يا أرحم الراحمين بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين. صلوات محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. ما شاء الله, what a loud salawat. Every time, every night, I have to remind you that recite a loud salawat. Can you please recite the loudest salawat today? Let me just see, you know, your loudest salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
This is medium, okay? Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. وعجل فرد أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما تحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صلاة على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجا. Dear brothers and sisters, every night we are starting with the knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and saying that Imam Ali had the same knowledge of the Prophet. And we are sometime talking about the lovely historical proofs and lovely historical stories and lovely judgments of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And also we are talking about those lovely questions which were asked for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Imam Ali gave what a lovely answer to all those questions. Today again, I want to quote a few lovely judgments of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you remember last night, I quoted a lovely judgment of woman A and woman B. Two mothers, and they claim that one child is our child. What a lovely judgment was it. Now today, there's another lovely judgment. There were two people. One was master and the second one was the slave. You know, in those days, people used to have slaves. People used to buy slaves. The slaves used to work for them. Anyhow, two people were going to Hajj or Umrah. They were on a trip. One of them was master. The second one was slave. Now, in the way, the slave started saying to his master that you are not my master. Okay? He was denying that you are not my master. Not only this, rather the slave started saying to his master, not only you are not my master, rather you are my slave. Now, it was quite confusing. He got angry. He said, I bought you for such and such amount. You are my slave, you've been working for me, and today you are saying you are not only not my slave, rather you are my master. He said, let's go to Imam Ali. Okay, all these lovely judgments which I'm quoting for you, all these people in the beginning first they went to other rulers and they didn't know what to do. So at the end they used to come to Imam Ali. Some of them, they directly came to Imam Ali, some went to other rulers. Anyhow, at the end they came to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now the master is saying, oh my master, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, I'm the master. I bought this guy for such and such amount. He is my slave. And now he is saying that not only he's not my slave, rather he's my master. Imam said, okay, you want me to judge between you, among you? Yes, master. So Imam said, close their eyes. Imam closed the eyes of both of them. Then again Imam said to his companion, oh my companion, go and cut the neck of the master. Now the slave was saying, I'm the master. When Imam said, go and cut the neck of the master, the slave said, oh Ali ibn Abi Talib, I'm not the master, I'm the slave. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad, the problem is solved. Ya Ali, don't cut my head, don't cut my neck, I'm not the master, I'm the slave, he's the master. So now Imam said, okay, the problem is solved, you are the master and he is the slave. So there are many other lovely judgments, like another lovely judgment. A mother started denying her child. The mother said that this is not my son. A very young man, maybe 18 or 20 years old, and the child is saying, the young boy is saying, Ya Ali, this woman is my mother. But the woman is saying, no, he is not my child. Not only is not my child, rather I'm not married woman. I'm a bachelor woman. So, there's a big problem. The man went to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Said, Ya Ali, judge between me and this woman. She is my mother and she's saying she's not my mother. For some reasons, that's a long story, I'm not going to quote that. For some reason, she just said, this is not my son. And Imam said, do you have any proof that this is not your son? She said, yes, my whole family. My whole family can come and say in front of you, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, that I'm not married. This is a 20 years old child. Boy, how can I have such a big child while I'm not married? Again, Imam said, not a big problem. Imam said to that young boy and to the women, if you are saying this is not your child, go and marry with this boy. Now when Imam said to that woman, go and marry with this woman, with this boy, and Imam said to the boy, go and marry with this woman, the boy said, Ya Ali, how can I marry? And not only the boy, the woman started again saying, Ya Ali, what are you asking me to do? How can I marry with my child? While first she was denying, this is not my child, this is not my son. But when Imam said, go and marry with this woman, suddenly she said, no, he is my son. For what reason? For some reasons I was denying that he is not my son. So there are many other lovely judgments of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you just pick up the books, they are full of judgments of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and very lovely judgments. And when these people went to others, they were confused. What to do? They didn't know what to do. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, so simply, so easily he solved the problems. And the knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, as every night we are trying to quote some questions, that people used to come and ask some questions for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now, inshallah, we have few answers. This is knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, that people used to come and ask these kind of confusing questions, but Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib used to answer without even thinking. You know, sometimes we think, and sometimes we have one day to search and we don't search. Okay? Like today, nobody has searched. So, sometimes we have to at least think to answer, but Imam Ali was the one who used to answer without thinking. And a man came to Imam Ali and he said, Ya Ali, you know, whenever anybody comes for any judgment, you judge without even thinking for just a second. When somebody comes to you and asks some question, you answer without thinking. You don't even say, okay, wait, let me think. You just answer immediately. How could it be possible? Ya Ali, think for a while. So Imam Ali said, okay, tell me, how many fingers do you have in your one hand? He said, 5. Imam said, why didn't you think for a while? He said, because these fingers are every time in front of me. So I can see there are 5 fingers. Imam said, as your fingers are every time in front of you, the whole world, the whole universe is every time in front Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad, Mu'ajjal. He is Babi Madinatul Ilm. And Imam Ali is teaching us, if you want to have a successful life, if you want to have a good life, learn from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is teaching us, successful is the one who was able to leave his bad habits. This is what we've been talking. Try to have good habits. Try to develop good habits. And if you just had one bad habit, just imagine any bad habit. If you just had one bad habit, it can destroy your whole life. This life, in this world, and hereafter. Just an example, for example, imagine you're going, for example, back to your home. On the way, a drunk guy came in front of you, and he started insulting you. He started saying bad things to you. He started swearing at you. Now what will be your reaction? If you did not have the good habit of patience, sabr, if you did not have the good habit of forbearance, hilm, if you had the bad habit of bad manners, what will you do? You will get out of your car and say the same bad things to him. You know, sometimes you can tolerate when somebody is insulting you, but when somebody starts insulting your parents, your mother, your father, then you know, you say, I cannot tolerate, I have to answer him, I have to fight with him. But this is devilish thinking. A man came to Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam and he started, Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The man started insulting Imam Al-Baqir's mother. He started accusing Imam Baqir's mother, saying very bad things. Imam did not get angry. Rather, do you know what did Imam say? Imam said to that man, whatever you are saying to my mother, if you are correct, if those accusations which you are saying that my mother was such and such, if you are right, I ask Allah to forgive my mother. But if you were wrong, I'll ask Allah to forgive you. But if me, if you, if we were at that time, somebody comes and says anything to our parents, 1, 2, 3. This is what we do in our regular life. So now just imagine you're going in your car, a drunk guy came in front of you, and he is insulting you. If you had the bad habit or bad manners, you will go and fight him. He's a drunk guy. Just imagine a dog comes in front of you and he's barking. Will you bark again? No, you'll not bark. The dog is barking. If you also bark in front of the dog, people will say, that is dog, but this one has some problem here. Because that is dog. Again, if somebody is insulting you, if somebody has bad manners, bad habit, swearing at you, just leave him. A drunk guy is insulting you, leave him. Ignore him. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, I was passing by a man who was insulting me, taking my name, saying, Ali, you are this, Ali, you are that. A man, Imam Ali saying, a man was insulting me by taking my names. I passed by that man, ignoring him, saying that he is insulting another Ali. There are not one Ali in the world. If my name is Muhammad Raza, if somebody is saying, Muhammad Raza, you are this, 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 maybe he's saying to another Muhammad Raza, just ignore him. Don't say, oh, he's saying to me. And if you just get out of your car and fight with that drunk guy, he might have knife and kill you. So either he'll send you to the graveyard or to the hospital. Or if you kill him or hit him, you'll go to the jail, prison. So, habits are very dangerous. If you had the bad habit or bad manners, then you can lose your life. And a man came to Imam Ali and he asked, Ya Ali, man adwamu nasi ghamma? Which person in this world is every time in tension, is every time in problems? Imam said, Aswa'uhum khulqa. The man who has bad manners, he is every time in problems. Every time. Everywhere. In this world and hereafter. A lovely story. Historical story. A companion of Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away. Now, Prophet himself went to his funeral ceremony. Prophet himself went and buried that companion in the grave. And after the Prophet was shedding tears, people were surprised. Ya Rasulullah, why are you shedding tears? Prophet said, I'm crying, I'm shedding tears because this companion of mine is being punished in his grave. Ya Rasulullah, such a great person, Prophet's companion, and Prophet has attended his funeral ceremony. Prophet has put him in the grave. You know, he had a great status. But Prophet is saying he's been punished. The companion asked, Ya Rasulullah, how could it be possible? Why? Prophet said he was a good guy, but he had one bad habit of bad manners. He was rude with his wife. And this is a lovely point. Anybody who's rude with his wife, he'll be punished. And the same way, if a wife is rude with her husband, she'll be punished in the grave. Some people think because we are men, we are allowed to do anything to our wives, to be rude with them, to talk as bad as we could do. But no, we are not allowed to be rude with anybody, even your child. Even if your child is 5 years old, you should respect him. You should be good with him. Never be rude with him. Never be bad with anybody. This is what Ahlul Bayt are teaching us. Hadith is saying anybody had bad habit or bad manners, يُحِشُ الْقَرِيبُ وَيُنْفِرُ الْبَعِيدُ. What does it mean? If you had the bad habit of bad manners, your neighbors, your relatives, your children, your brothers, your sisters, they will be afraid of talking to you. If you had the bad habit of anger, bad habit of bad manners, your own son will not talk to you, fearing that maybe I say something and he gets angry. And we see in many families, the father thinks, oh, I'm the leader, I'm the everything, and nobody has the right to say anything in front of me like the dictators. No, you are not Saddam. Saddam was that who used to say that nobody has the right to say anything to me. This is the wrong thinking. Because of the bad habit of bad manners, sometimes you see the children get far from their parents The children should be friends of their parents. The children should be friends with their parents, but because of the bad habit of bad manners, bad habit of anger, children are afraid. They don't share many things with their parents because they are afraid. If I say anything to my father, he might get angry and he might punish me. While we have a lovely hadith, lovely narration, that the fathers and mothers, the parents, should ask their children everything they do outside. How can you ask your son this thing unless you are not his friend? There was a father. He said to his son, "Dear son, can I ask you something?" He said, "Yes, father." The father said, "Please, whatever you do outside, please come and tell me in the evening when you come back." The son said, "Okay, that's not a big deal. I'll tell you everything I do." When he came back in the evening, the father said, "Come on, please, tell me, what did you do today?" The son said, "I backbited. Okay. I saw a Namahram. Okay. Now he's continuing. I did this, I did that." And then he says, "Dad, can I stop?" The father said, "Why are you stopping?" He said, "I feel shy. I really feel very bad. How can I tell you what did I do?" Now, because the father was friend with his child, he didn't say anything bad. But in our society today, if any son or any daughter goes to his father or mother and says, "Dear father, dear mother, you know, actually, today when I went to the college, I made a mistake and I shaked a hand with Namaram. Slap." This is the answer. And when you do this, when you slap your son or daughter, the next time he will never share anything with you. "So, you know, I don't want to beat him up by him." So you should be clever. Now look at this father. The father says to his son, "Dear son, why can't you say what did you do?" He said, "I feel shy. How can I say the what bad actions I did?" The father said, "Today you feel shy to say whatever you've done to your father. But do you know tomorrow when you will die in the day of judgment, Allah will ask you to tell him what bad actions you did. Whatever you do in this world is being filmed. Whatever you do in a closed room or anywhere, you think nobody's looking at you, but there's somebody who's looking at you. Any action you do is being filmed." The father said, "Dear son, today you cannot tell me what you have done. But tomorrow your video will be played in front of Imam Ali, in front of Ahlul Bayt. How bad you will feel. The bad action you've done. What will you do at that time? So please, dear son, isn't it better to leave the sin? While you are not even able to tell to your father what bad you've done, how can you tell it to Imam Ali? What will you feel when your video of bad action will be played in front of Ahlul Bayt, in front of the whole world? In the day of Qiyamah, it's not that, you know, your bad actions are just in front of you. No. Your bad action will be shown to everybody. If you are bad in the day of judgment, it will be shown to everybody. And if you are good, it will be shown to everybody. So this is how you should do. The parents, I really request the parents, be friends with your children. You know, don't be dictators. Just, you know, whatever I said, that's the one and only point. No. The bad habit of bad manners makes your children far from you. And the bad habit of bad manners makes your friend far from you. If you had the bad habit of bad manners, if you were rude with somebody, of course, it's a different. I'm not going to be the friend of a guy who's rude and who has the bad habit of bad manners. And we are who? Followers of whom? Ahlul Bayt. Followers of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now, lovely story. What Imam Ali is teaching us about manners, about akhlaq. And as I told you, the devil worshippers are trying to attack on our akhlaq. They are trying to destroy our akhlaq. They are trying to change our good akhlaq to bad akhlaq. But remember, Muslim is the one who has the best akhlaq, who has the best manners. Learn from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now what happened? Prophet went to Imam Ali and Prophet said, "Ya Ali, if anybody comes and insults you, if anybody was rude with you, what will you do?" Now what is your answer? If anybody was rude with you, what will you do? If anybody disrespected you, If anybody dishonored you, if anybody sweared at you, what will you do? Imam Ali's answer, listen, Imam Ali said, I will be good with him. Okay, once you can be good with somebody who was bad with you, Prophet asked, Ya Ali, if somebody was rude with you for the second time, what will you do? Imam Ali said, I'll be good with him. If somebody was rude with you for the third time, Imam Ali said, I'll be good with him. Prophet said, if somebody becomes rude with you for 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, continuously, he disrespects you, what will you do? Now what we do, for the first time, we say, okay, you know, I can tolerate. Second time, third time, then, you know, after that, we say, just leave him. We do something very bad. But Imam Ali is saying, no, let him be rude with me forever. But I will be good with him forever. Rasulullah is asking, Ya Ali, if he is rude with you forever, every time he is insulting you, swearing at you, rude with you, why you are every time good with him now? Remember this lovely point. Write down this sentence. Imam Ali answers, because he has a bad habit of becoming rude. He has a bad habit of becoming very, very rude and insulting people. And he is not ready to leave his bad habit. Now Imam Ali is saying, when that man is not ready to leave his bad habits, why should I leave my good habits? Lovely point. When he is not ready to leave his bad habits and continuously insulting me, why should I leave my good habit? Why should I leave my good habit? So, be good with everybody. Don't be rude with anybody. Be kind with everybody. And whenever anybody insults you, instead of fighting with him, instead of swearing at him, instead of insulting him, start thinking, why is he rude with me? Somebody has come to me and he was rude with me. He said very bad thing to me. Now me, instead of swearing at him, me, instead of fighting with him, punching or slapping him, I should start thinking, why was he rude with me? Why he was not rude with somebody else? Why he was not rude with X, Y, Z, W? Why? Why he was rude with me? Start thinking. Don't just react. A man came to Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. And he insulted Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. He sweared at Salman al-Farsi. Salman al-Farsi did not react as we react. He did not insult him. He did not swear at him. Rather, Salman al-Farsi started thinking, why was he rude? Why is he rude? Why is he insulting somebody? Why is he swearing at somebody? Salman al-Farsi reached to a conclusion. Salman al-Farsi said, this man is insulting me because he has forgotten the grave. This man is insulting me because he has forgotten the day of judgment. This man is insulting me because he doesn't know if you swear at somebody, by just one swear, and a scorpion being made for your grave, and it will keep biting you forever in your grave. This man has forgotten death. So Salman al-Farsi said, oh lovely young boy. He didn't insult him. He didn't swear at him. Rather, Salman al-Farsi is replying to one who insulted Salman al-Farsi. Salman al-Farsi said, oh dear brother, you have forgotten the day of judgment. You have forgotten the grave. Do you know a day will come when I will die? A day will come when I will go in the grave. A day will come when there is a day of judgment. And if I also swear at you, I will have punishment in the grave. I don't want the punishment for my grave. He didn't say anything bad to him. He didn't swear at him. He didn't become rude with him. Rather, he taught him. First he thought, why did he insult? Why is he insulting people? Why is he insulting mu'mineen? He reached this conclusion that he is doing this great sin because he's forgotten the grave. So he said, dear brother, I don't want to swear at you because I know once I will die and in the grave scorpions will bite me. I don't want scorpions for my grave. And he reminded him the day of judgment. He reminded him grave and death. And this is how he tried to guide him. So whenever somebody insults you, anybody is rude with you, don't be rude with him. Rather start thinking. Don't react. Think, why is he doing this? Why is he being rude with me? Why is he insulting me? Maybe I've done something wrong to him, that's why he's doing that. Or maybe really he has forgotten the grave. He's forgotten that once he's going to die, so remind him. So this is a very dangerous habit which could disturb, destroy your world and hereafter. Now I want to get rid of this habit. What should I do? We are talking about habits. How can we get rid of our bad habits? Now I want to leave this bad habit, or I want to leave all my bad habits. What should I do? And what are the hindrances? What things are stopping me from leaving my bad habits? So now there is a lovely, lovely point. There is a dangerous hindrance, which is internal hindrance, not external. If you want to change yourself, not somebody from outside is stopping you. Rather, there is something internal which is stopping you. And what's that? That is law of belief. Now this is a universal law, like the law of gravity. What's the law of gravity? That the magnetic power of the earth pulls everything towards itself. Now, it's for Muslim, it's for Christian, it's for everybody. If you say that I don't accept this law of gravity and you will jump from the 10th floor, what's the result? You will either die or break your hands or leg. So the same thing, law of belief is a universal law. It's for everybody, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, Pakistani, Indian, Canadian, anybody. Now what is the law of belief saying? Law of belief is saying, whatever you believe with conviction and confidence, that becomes your reality. Anything you believe with conviction and confidence, that becomes your reality. So now if you believe that I'm not able to change my bad habits, then you are not able to change your bad habits. This is the hindrance. This is what is stopping you. This is what taking you to the bad life. I cannot change myself. I'm like this. I was grown up like this. I cannot develop good habits. I cannot lose my weight. I cannot control on my eating food. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. When you say I cannot do, then you cannot do. But when you say yes, I can do, then you can do. This is the law of belief. Whatever you believe with conviction and confidence, that becomes your reality. For example, you failed your exam for any reasons. Maybe you didn't study well. Maybe you didn't use the latest technology, latest techniques. You failed your exam. Now you said, okay, I failed in medicine, so I don't want to study medicine. I'll go to some other field. While maybe, if you would have continued it for the next year, maybe you were going to become the best doctor or the best person in that field. But just because you failed once, or you lost your business, you lost your job, you start saying, oh, I cannot do this, leave it. Never say, I cannot do this. You are a human being, you have greatest power. You can do. You can leave your bad habits. You can leave your bad character. You can leave your bad destiny. But the hindrance is law of belief. If you believe that you cannot do, you cannot do. I'm guaranteeing you, then you cannot do. But if you believe that I can do, then you can do. And now there's a lovely point. Whatever happens in your life, four things appear. Four questions come in your mind. Any incident happens in your life, four questions asks. Your brain asks you, is this thing pain for me? Is this thing pleasure for me? Is this thing has profit for me? Or does it have any loss for me? These are four questions asked from you whenever anything happens to you. Now again, up to you. If you believe a pleasure as the pain, then that is a pleasure, but you are feeling it pain. If you believe that a profit is a loss, then you will have loss and you will have pain. And this is very dangerous. You have to be careful. Like for example, in this bad habit of bad manners, somebody came and insulted you. If you say, oh, this is a pain for me, then you'll be in the pain. Of course, definitely, for sure. But if you don't say it's a pain, rather if you say, who am I? People used to insult Ahlul Bayt. People used to insult Imams. People used to insult Prophets and swear at them. They didn't fight. Rather, they used to forgive them. So now you will not have any pain. Rather, you will have a pleasure when you will forgive that person. So it's up to you. If you believe that this is a pain, it is a pain. If you believe that is a pleasure, that is a pleasure. If you believe that is a profit, that is a profit. If you believe that is loss, that is loss. And again, if you believe you cannot change yourself, you cannot change. Just last point. The power of belief. The power of belief is very, very, very powerful. Belief has such a great power that even the effect of medicine on our body is because of our belief. This is the new research informing this. The new research is saying that there was an experiment done in Harvard University. 100 medical students participated and they were given a few medicines. Now, let's divide it to 50 students here, 50 students here. Group A, Group B. Now, Group A were given a medicine and they were told that this medicine will make you sleep, while the chemical reaction was opposite of what they were told. Group B were given a medicine which they were told this will keep you awake, while the chemical reaction was exactly opposite of what they were told. And after, when the research was completed, what was the result? Almost half of the students reacted as they believed. Reacted as they told. This is very important. It means even the medicines which we are using, it will affect on us more when we believe that it's going to heal us. It's very lovely. So again, this is the very dangerous hindrance. Sometime when you feel, sometime when you think that you cannot change your bad habit, then you have killed yourself. This is self-limiting belief. I cannot do this. You can change your bad habit. And as I told you, on the first day and today, any bad habit you have bad character, you have bad destiny. 95% of what you lose is because of your bad habits. So if you bring all these points, and successful life, successful habits, failure life, failure habits. So good habits are hard to form, but easy to live. And bad habits are easy to form but hard to live. If you bring all these points, then you will say, oh, I don't want to remain with my bad habits. I want to get rid of my bad habits. And when you will leave your bad habit, you'll become successful. Inshallah. We'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Ya Allah, help us that we could get rid of our bad habits. Leave the bad habit of bad manners. And as I told you last night, the main point, which will help you to leave your bad habits is love of Ahlul Bayt. Love of Ahlul Bayt. If you really have love of Ahlul Bayt in your heart, you will leave all the bad things. Love of Ahlul Bayt will stop you from bad deeds, bad actions. As I told you, the real love, not the fake or traditional love. If you just go and read the books, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, they also love Ahlul Bayt. You know Edward Gibbon, he's written about Imam Hussein. You know George, the writer of the Lebanon, he's Christian. He's written a very big book about Imam Ali. Then he was asked, why do you write this book about Imam Ali while you are a Christian? He said, I was looking for the best habits of the world. I was looking for the virtues in the world. I found all the virtues, all the good habits in Ali ibn Abi Talib. So that's why I wrote the book in the name of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, praising Ali ibn Abi Talib. Edward Gibbon is praising Ali ibn Abi Talib. This George is praising Ali ibn Abi Talib. Many Hindus are praising Ali ibn Abi Talib. They love Ali ibn Abi Talib. But that is a kind of not real love. Because real love means obedience. If they used to obey Imam Ali, they would have definitely become Muslim and Shia. But we say we are Shias. We say that we are followers of Imam Ali. Don't become like those youths which I told you yesterday. They were not ready to just trim their hair for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Become real Muslim, real Shia, real lover of Ahlul Bayt, like Salman al-Farsi. He was an Iranian. But Prophet says, Salman minna, he is from us. Why? Because he practiced Islam, really. He followed Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib as we should. But today we see that, we say that we love Imam Ali, but we don't follow. Love means obedience. If you love Imam Ali, if you love Ahlul Bayt, you have to obey them. You have to listen what they say. And when you listen what Ahlul Bayt say, every day we've been talking, Ahlul Bayt are saying, leave your bad habits, you'll be successful. So if you follow Ahlul Bayt, if you listen what Ahlul Bayt are saying, you'll be successful. Inshallah, let's go to Masa'ib. and ask Allah, Ya Allah, in the name of Ahlul Bayt, help us that we could, inshallah, leave our bad habits. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Everybody loudly. Allahumma. Say loudly, Allahumma salli ala. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, forgive us our sins. Help us that we can leave our bad habits. Help us, Ya Allah. Allah said, if you want anything, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. If you want anything from Allah, ask in the name of Ahlul Bayt. Ask in the name of Imam Hussain. Ya Allah, forgive us our sins. Ya Allah, help us that we could change our bad habits. In the name of suckling child of Hussain, Babul Hawa. عليون الأصغر. Just imagine a 6 months child. How small is it? How much do you love your little brothers and sisters who are 6 months old? Nobody wants to harm 6-month-old child. I don't know who were in Karbala. They were animals. They kept him thirsty for 3 days. They kept him hungry for 3 days, Ya Allah. It's been narrated when Imam Hussein said, Hal min nasirin yansuruna. Is there anybody left to help son of Zahra? Hussain. The narration says, the little suckling child, Aliyun al-Asghar, dropped itself from the cradle, saying, oh my father, I am still alive. I can help you, oh my father. He was such a small child that he was not even able to talk. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein came back to tents, and Imam Hussein asked the ladies, what happened? Ladies said, Mawla Ya Hussein, when you said, Hal min nasirin yansuruna, Ali ibn al-Asghar dropped himself from the cradle. Baba, my father, I'm ready. Imam Hussein said, okay, I will take Ali ibn al-Asghar. Maybe they give water to Ali ibn al-Asghar. Imam Hussein picked up Ali ibn al-Asghar on his hands. He was so small that the Yazidi soldiers thought Imam Hussein is bringing Quran. Imam Hussein went in front of the Yazidi soldiers and said, "O soldiers, if your enemy is Hussein, if you have come to fight with Hussein, tell me, what has this suckling child, Aliyun al-Asghar, done?" All the Yazidi soldiers started saying, "Hussein wants water for himself. That's why he has brought his son, that by the name of his son he could drink water." Imam said to Aliyun al-Asghar, "O Aliyun al-Asghar, show your tongue which has been drawn." When Aliyun al-Asghar showed his tongue, all the Yazidi soldiers started crying. Ibn Sa'd said, "Hurmala, before any changes happens in our army, kill the son of Hussein." Hurmala picked up an arrow. He wanted to shoot the arrow, but he couldn't shoot the arrow. For the second time he tried, he couldn't shoot the arrow. Ibn Sa'd asked Hurmala, "Why can't you shoot this arrow?" Hurmala said, "When I want to shoot an arrow, I see a woman in front of me who says, 'Oh Hurmala, what has my suckling child done to you? Why are you killing my suckling child?'" Ibn Sa'd said, "Close your eyes, I'll put something on your eyes. Pick up the arrow, throw the arrow, kill the suckling child." Now Arabs had two kinds of arrows. One was ordinary arrow to kill a human being. The second was very heavy arrow to kill the animals by that arrow. Hurmala picked an arrow which was heavier than Aliyun al-Asghar. He picked up that arrow and shoot it, throw it towards the neck of Aliyun al-Asghar. Aliyun al-Asghar, 6 months child's neck was cut. Now Imam Hussein knew that after his shahadat, these oppressors will trample all the bodies. Imam Hussein looked at the body of Aliyun al-Asghar. He said, "Asghar cannot tolerate the steps of the horses." So Imam Hussein went and buried Aliyun al-Asghar, that these oppressors don't trample his body. But do you know what happened on the 11th of Muharram after Ashura? When they started cutting the heads, they saw there are only 71 heads. One head is missing. Where is Aliyun al-Asghar? Now when the oppressor asked, "Where is the 72nd head?" one of the oppressors said, "I saw Hussein was burying Aliyun al-Asghar." Ibn Sa'd said, "Pick up these spears and put them in the earth. Wherever there was the body of Aliyun al-Asghar, the spear will stick there." Now little
daughter of Hussein, Sakina, was crying, saying, Ya Allah, my brother was martyred for the first time. Ya Allah, don't let him be martyred for the second time. Ya Allah, save my Ali ibn al-Asghar. Suddenly one of the arrows was sticked in the earth. When the man pulled the arrow, pulled his spear, the little body of Ali ibn al-Asghar came out. Ya Allah, in the name of Ali ibn al-Asghar, in the name of Imam Hussain, and Bibi Sakina, Ya Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah, help us that we could change our bad habits. Surah Al-Fatiha.